You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good morning, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck with another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I just want to take a moment to reiterate really quickly this morning. If you've been listening for a while now, I would super appreciate you heading on over to iTunes and just dropping a quick review and rating. I think the podcast is kind of gaining some momentum here, but that would just help it even more so. So that's just a personal favor. If you have the capacity, if you feel like it's been a blessing to you, that would be a blessing to me. Thank you. But that's enough of that. This morning, I wanted to cover part two of living fully integrated. In part one, check out the episode if you didn't hear it yet. In part one, we talked about the difference in a man's life between trusting the Lord or trusting in men or man, trusting in our own thinking, our own ways. We talked about how Jesus told us if we hear his words but don't actually put them into action and don't live like we believe them, even though we say we believe them, we're setting ourselves up for a major crash, a crumble. It's building our house on sand. He said, a house divided can't stand. And I think we have a bit of an epidemic right now that I am undoing in my own life. And thankfully, Jesus is asking me to help undo it in your life, in the life of men, in our church culture. And that epidemic is that we are living disintegrated. We are not fully aligned with what we say we believe when we are Christians. When we say we follow Jesus, when we say we believe in him and we love him, our lives don't always match up. And I'm not talking about the big obvious ways because, you know, we say we love Jesus and yet we're out doing all kinds of sinful stuff. Maybe some of us that is true. And that needs to change. But this living disintegrated can be a lot sneakier than that. It can be a lot more subtle and, in my opinion, then a lot more dangerous than that, because then we get a bunch of not cold and not hot, but a bunch of lukewarm men in the kingdom. And Jesus said that he would spit us out if we're lukewarm, and we don't want that. We don't want lukewarmness, where we say we believe something, but we live in these subtle ways differently. And so we've got to fully trust. We have to fully trust. And what that looks like is actually acting on what Jesus says. It's not just giving lip service to his doctrine, not just giving lip service to what we believe he did or has done for us. It is actually putting actions behind our faith and walking this thing out. It's seeing when he says, hey, if somebody asks you to give them your cloak, go ahead and give them your tunic. And so we say, oh, I will do that. The guy on the street is asking for some change. You know what? I'm going to give him $20 and I'm going to take him to get him some lunch. I'm going to sit down and talk with him. My neighbor's lawn is long, and I know they have a hard time getting around and mowing it, so I'm going to go mow it and make them lunch, too. I'm going to bring them a barbecued hamburger. These are just kind of silly examples, but you know what I mean? We live according to the principle that Jesus laid out. We don't live according to what seems wise in the world's eyes. So in business, we refund people well beyond when they should be qualified for a refund. Maybe, I don't know. You know the situation, but that could be. Because we live according to God's providing for us, not according to the payments that we've gotten and holding on tightly to them. So we talked about all of that stuff in part one. Today in part two, I want to talk about more about how. Because I bet you right now are probably wondering, you know, this sounds good to trust God with all of this, but how do I actually get there? How do I get to be that kind of a person who does trust him like that? What am I missing? What is the key? Because I simply right now, if I'm being honest with myself, I simply just don't. And guys, I will be the first to say that I believe in the power of God, the living, real, active power of God, that we can see change things, that we can actually even see change ourselves. Right? He says that a leopard can't change its spots. So there's certain parts of us that we cannot change no matter how hard we work. And it says that it's God who works in us to get us to both will and to work according to his good pleasure. Okay, so I understand that it is the Lord who does things. He is strong and he's alive and he's powerful. And so it makes sense if we're sitting around wondering, what am I missing? How can I get to be in that place of trust? What do I need to do in order to get God to make me into that kind of a person? But, gentlemen, God partners with us too. And there are times when he rushes in like a flood and he smacks us upside the head even when we weren't looking for it. We didn't deserve it, and he does change us. There are those times, but you are not called to play a victim to those times, meaning your life, your growth, your advancement in the kingdom does not depend on a moment in time happening to you. You happen to your life. You happen. You bring change. So, how do you get to be this man who trusts in the Lord radically, recklessly, extravagantly, beyond what wisdom should say that you should do? The answer is not glorious, but it's real. You get to be this kind of a man by choosing it. There you go. By choosing it. And I can sense in some of us, the defensiveness that comes up right there, because we want to not be responsible for our own broken situation. We want to not be responsible for the things that we've been missing out on. We want someone else to take the blame. We want God to be the responsible one. And we just didn't know. But if the answer is just to choose, then it's been in my hands all along. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, there is a very powerful passage. And it starts in verse 11. It says, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off." It's not up in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Listen, it does not depend on somebody going and getting this thing for you. It does not depend on the right preacher, the right prophet, the right whoever coming and laying hands on you. It does not depend on how you were raised. It does not depend on your kids changing. It does not depend on your wife changing. It does not depend on your boss changing. It does not depend on your body, your health changing. It does not depend on your circumstances changing. It is not far off, nor is it too hard for you. Gosh, this is convicting, isn't it? Because we want to say it's all too hard. If only this were different, but it's not my fault. Have you seen what I've been through? Yeah. But God says it's not too hard for you. It's not about anybody else going and getting it. And while this might be convicting and make us want to put up our defenses, it should also be freeing. If you can hear this, it's freeing and it's liberating and it's empowering, because the word is very near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth so that you can do it. Now watch this. Verse 15 says, "See?" It's like God saying, check it out. "I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. So I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore," here it is, "choose life." Choose life. I have given you options. I have set them before you. Now it's up to you. The ball is in your court. What will you choose? And listen, I'm not saying that it's all about you following all the right rules and being the good Christian guy you're supposed to be, and dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's. But I am saying it's all about obeying, and it's all about following what God says. It's all about saying yes to what he says. And you may not feel like it, but the way that you choose is by how you act. What will your actions say? Will they line up with what Jesus says? Because if you do these things, if you obey the commandments of the Lord, if you say yes and you act in accordance with what you say you believe, then look, you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land to take possession of it. He will give you the promised land. He will give you the promises that you have been fighting for in your own way, trusting yourself, trying to get them to happen on your own, and it has not worked. It sucked. But he says, if your heart turns away and you worship other gods and you serve them, and so meaning you go and you try to live according to some other way to get what you need, to get what you want. Because the reason for serving other gods is to try to get what you need from them, to make them happy so you can get what you've been looking for. If you go away from my intimacy, if you go away from connection with me, and you start doing this on your own, you're gonna die. So he says, therefore, choose life. He's begging you, choose life. Please, choose life. You have the power, gentlemen, to choose. Who will you serve? And when you choose, you start acting like it. You prioritize Jesus above everything, above yourself, above your family, above your job, above your bank account. You prioritize him in your time. You establish, you may not feel like spending time with Jesus and that's it. You may not feel like it. I don't care. I don't care what you feel like. I really don't. That's not what it's about. You establish some freaking discipline. Guys, warriors discipline themselves. Paul says it. I discipline myself. And the good thing, the blessing of it is that as we discipline ourselves more and we choose to live and act and behave according to the principles that we say we want, it starts to require less and less discipline because it starts to flow more and more. And we start to embrace it and actually thrive on it and love it and feed on this thing that we're disciplining ourselves in. And so if you don't feel like spending time with Jesus, I don't care. Discipline yourself and do it. Because if you say you're going to believe him, then you've got to put your money where your mouth is. So look at this other section of scripture in Joshua. You don't believe me that you have to choose, that it's just about you choosing, that it's as simple and easy as that? Look at this, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve then. Whether it will be him or the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Choose then. Choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you hear the resolve there? Men, you have in you the DNA to be resolved. It is time to stop letting how much or how strongly you believe be dictated by what's going on around you. And you have the power to choose who you will believe. And you resolve it. You say, this is the man I will be. Come hell, come high water, I will not waver. And this attracts heaven to you. This attracts all of the resources of heaven to you. This attracts the heart of the Father to you. When he says, look at that man down there. It is not, to him, it's not about what he's getting out of the deal. He has chosen and resolved that he will follow after me and he will trust me and he will live according to my kingdom's ways no matter what. So watch while I do a mighty, mighty thing in his life. If he's trusting me, I will build such a testimony in him of my power and my glory. The world is going to look at it and marvel. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And look at 1 Kings 18. Verse 21 is when Elijah is having a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And he speaks to the people of Israel who are gathered around to the showdown. And he says, how long will you people go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Listen, if you are divided, you are limping. So you want to know how to become the man who is unshakable? To become the man like in Jeremiah 17 we talked about in part one, who trusts in the Lord and who always bears fruit in season, out of season, in the drought. He's not anxious when the drought comes. It doesn't even matter. He's unshakable. You want to know how to be that kind of man who trusts God that way? It starts with your choice. And you might have to choose 1,000 times in one single day. And you choose, I agree with the truth of the Lord. And maybe it plans out in your actions of how you're going to conduct yourself in this circumstance or that circumstance. It does. But it might for you start your it. Those actions that prove where your faith is might start in the thoughts that you choose to think. So when you feel your mind going to places of that aren't consistent with the kingdom, like this is just life, this is just the way I am, I'm never going to get over this, I'm never going to beat my anger, I'm never going to get well, I'm never going to figure out how to get out of this mess. The smallest, most central core of who you are action is to choose a different thought. And the easiest way I know how to choose it and act on it so that I'm not just getting stuck being swayed by thoughts in my mind is to actually speak it. So I'm challenging you right now, putting some action steps to this. One, you choose to make time to be with Jesus and just Jesus. That's one, because you will grow and you will grow with less work and less strain, less bunch of self-effort. The more you spend time with him and you are in his actual presence and he's changing you, even if you don't feel it at first. That's one action step. The second is for you, in those times and outside of those times, in your day, in the course of your day, you take your thoughts captive and you choose to think a kingdom thought. And you watch while it starts there and it grows. And you watch while, as you're spending time with Jesus and beholding him and letting him shape you, and as you are training your mind to think differently, you watch while you naturally begin to change. The leopard can't change its spots, but Jesus does. And you watch while those spots change. You watch while you become a new man. And you will feel like, I'm not even really doing this. It's God doing it. Because he does bring the change. You don't, but he is asking you to choose. You can do this, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver abundance is your atmosphere.